The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Again, we officially welcome everybody, either if you're watching by podcast, watching by Facebook Live, or by YouTube. Again, if this is your first time joining us, we welcome you to the broadcast. Please let us know where you're joining us from and that you are new, if you're able to comment where the platform that in which you're listening to. So today, on today's segment, this is a prophetic update. We've not done one of these in a while now, and I thought this would be appropriate. I really wanted to kind of do a little bit of a devotional and a prayer segment, but I feel like this is something that we definitely need to be in prayer about and we need to be paying attention to. So I want to talk about, are we witnessing a 10-year cycle emerging? Are we witnessing a 10-year cycle emerging? So we've got I've got some PowerPoint slides here that I want to share with you as points of references to show you what we're talking about here today. If you're watching this and not listening to this on podcast, if you're watching by YouTube or watching on Facebook, what you're about to see or what you're seeing come up around the screen, this was an EF5 catastrophic tornado that struck in 2011 during a tornadic outbreak that took place that claimed many lives. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But this particular tornado here that you're seeing on your screen, this was one that struck in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So in 2011, which again, that was 10 years ago, we had a very disastrous year regarding destructive weather and earthquakes. I want to repeat that again. In 2011, we had a disastrous year regarding destructive weather and earthquakes. Again, a magnitude 9.1 earthquake struck Japan on March 11th, 2011, triggering a deadly tsunami and causing widespread devastation, killing nearly 18,500 people. Then, following that disaster, consequently enough, on April 27th and April 28th of 2011, we witnessed the deadliest tornado outbreak in the U.S. since 1974. By the dawn of April 28th in 2011, at least 250 lives had been taken across six states in the United States. Alabama, who was hit the hardest, saw 162 confirmed deaths. Again, this was in Alabama, and that's where we showed you at the very beginning of the segment that massive EF5, which is the largest scaled tornado on the scale that they measure these things on. That happened right in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. This started on April 26th and went all the way to April 28th. The ingredients for the severe weather was evident in cloud patterns. And I want to preface this by saying this. We are seeing the same pattern emerge again. So look, this is not even a prophetic word or a prophetic warning today. This is, I am showing you a cycle, a weather pattern, a weather cycle that I believe is emerging, is taking place, that we saw all the way back in 2011, and is starting to show its ugly head again. And I'll get more into this and show you more confirmation on it. But let me go back to the ingredients of April 26th through the 28th that produced this tornadic outbreak. Throughout the period, a relatively stable base of cold air was visible as a swirl of more or less continuous clouds rotated in the north along the top of the image. Meanwhile, moist air pushed north and west from the Atlantic and Gulf of Mexico. The warm air contained small low clouds. The collision between two such air masses is what produced a severe weather outbreak. but the weather was amplified by the jet stream on April 27th. Okay, again, so you saw this ingredients. And by the way, also during that time frame, there was also what was called a El Nino year. And again, we're in that same cycle again. Also, in 2011, the Joplin tornado took place, was also registered as one of the most powerful and catastrophic EF5 multiple vortex tornadoes that ever struck in the United States. And this struck Joplin, Missouri, and basically wiped it off the map in 2011. And this was on the evening of May 22nd. This was a part of a larger late May tornado outbreak. So again, there was April and then there was May. And it was, and somebody say the spring of that year. All right. The tornado track, this Joplin tornado tracked eastward across the city and then continued eastward across Interstate 44 into rural parts of Jasper and Newton counties. Listen to this. It was the third tornado to strike Joplin since May of 1971. Overall, the tornado killed 158 people just from the Joplin tornado, with an additional eight indirect deaths, injured over 1,150 and caused damages that totaled $2.8 billion. And it was said to be the deadliest tornado to strike the U.S. since the 1947 Glacier Higgins Woodward tornadoes and the seventh deadliest overall tornadoes. Now, you may be watching this segment today and say, what does this got to do with 2021? I'm glad you asked. So let's recap this real quick. So there was a dangerous weather pattern that was set in motion 10 years ago. The jet stream was set in motion. It was an El Nino year. There was seismic activity. All this generated the perfect storm, no pun intended there, but the perfect storm of events to produce, listen to me, catastrophic earthquakes and tornadic outbreaks. Now, here we are, fast forward 10 years later. We fast forward 10 years later, and we just yesterday, in March, consequently in March of 2021, a large scale of sequence of earthquakes took place in the region of New Zealand. There was back-to-back 7+ earthquakes. I believe it was a 7.3 and then a 7.5. And then there was another a large earthquake. And then there was a magnitude 8.0, which, by the way, the USGS upscaled that and magnified it to an 8.1 that struck the same region, leaving the entire region on alert. So if you were to ask me, I believe this kind of puts this in the same scale as the event that happened on March 11th, 10 years ago in Japan. Now, thank God there was no deaths and there was no tsunami, or at least catastrophic wise tsunami, and lives were not taken. So we need to really be thankful. So all my brothers and sisters in New Zealand, we thank God that none of you were hurt, none of you were injured, and none of your lives were taken. But listen to me, on a seismic level, this is the same level of intensity that we saw again 10 years ago that happened in Japan. Then on top of this, listen, we got some more here. I want to show you some more stuff that's happening. Look at this headline. Again, this was the headline from yesterday. I want to give you this headline. Quote, powerful quake hits off New Zealand, prompting evacuations. Now, look at the excerpt on the bottom of this. One of the biggest earthquakes to hit the South Pacific in modern history forced thousands of people in New Zealand to evacuate and triggered tsunami warnings across the world. Again, one of the largest earthquakes to strike the South Pacific in modern history. So this is not some, well, you know, we have earthquakes all the time. No, this was a big deal. This was a large earthquake. All right, let's move on. Listen to this. This, the Sacramento Bee, which is a California affiliate, reported this. Dozens of earthquakes occur over 45 minutes. This would be called an earthquake swarm at Oregon's Mount Hood. Quote, what caused them? A 45-minute earthquake swarm reported this week near Oregon's Mount Hood has the U.S. Geological Survey offering explanations and reassurance the volcano is not becoming more active. So they're trying to calm everybody's nerves. They're trying to calm everybody down. Dozens of earthquakes was reported, but most not felt on the surface, came in succession around 12:13 p.m. on Monday and centered about a half mile southwest of the volcano, according to geologists. Data show the quakes came from 3 to 4 miles beneath the summit, and officials on Tuesday said the volcano is about 50 miles east of Portland. So again, it's in the proximity of Mount Hood. Now, remember when Mount St. Helens erupted in the early, what was it, in the 80s? I was really young when that happened. But again, this is how they started out. There was earthquakes. There was, then it became a swarm of earthquakes. And then they would calm down and they would pick back up. And then they would pick back up. And eventually the earthquakes produced a volcanic eruption in with Mount St. Helens that was catastrophic, was devastating. It changed the whole course geographically of the land there. The Pacific Northwest Seismic Network located 8 events so far with a maximum magnitude of 1.3. Dozens of other events were too small to locate. Although, quote, not a common occurrence, short-lived swarms have occurred near the summit in the past, including in November of 2013, September and October of 2014, and May 2016. Quote, it was likely pressurized, superheated water, not bubbling hot magma, according to experts. The recent earthquake at Mount Hood are interpreted to be the movement of hydrothermal fluids along pre-existing faults. Okay, so now, again, I'm not a volcanologist. I'm not someone who deals, I don't work for the USGS. So I can't tell you there's nothing to worry about. So I'm only giving you what these quote unquote experts are saying. And they're saying this is nothing to be alarmed about. This is nothing to be concerned about. This is normal. All right. Fine. So let me give you some more headlines. So keep in mind what's all going on here. I'm going to give you another one. Quote, this is from CNN. Quote, 17,000 earthquakes hit Iceland in the past week. An eruption could be imminent. Now, here we have the same scenario. We have a volcano there in Iceland. And with this, we're seeing an uptick of earthquakes, or what we call a, quote, earthquake swarm. Now, so much so that these experts are now saying, and I'm going to read you the article. Let me just read this. Quote, even for a volcanic island accustomed to the occasional tremor, this has been a, quote, unusual week for Iceland. According to the Icelandic Meteorological Office, around 17,000 earthquakes have struck the southwestern region over the past week. The largest quake, measuring magnitude 5.6 on the Richter scale, occurred on the morning of February 24th. It was the loudest in a swarm that continues to rattle residents in the nearby capital. And the municipalities around it, where two-thirds of the Icelandic population lives, two larger earthquakes over magnitude 5.0 also struck on February 27th and March 1st. The quakes have caused little damage so far, though Iceland's road and coastal administration has reported small cracks in the roads and in the area and rock falls on steep slopes near the epicenter of the swarm. Quote, I've experienced earthquakes before, but never so many in a row, according to one resident that told CNN. Quote, it is very unusual to feel the earth shake 24 hours a day for a whole week. Could you imagine feeling this? It makes you feel very small and powerless against nature. Quote, in the fishing town of Grindavik, I believe, I don't know how you pronounce that there, locals have had a front row seat to the tremors. Quote, I've not experienced anything like this before, according to one resident who teaches at the local college of fisheries and sits as a deputy member of parliament. So again, unusual. Never seen before, never felt it before. And again, experts are saying that a volcanic eruption is imminent. So again, all this is happening. Now, I want to read, this is from USA Today, and this was published this year. Now, before I read this, I want to recap again. Remember, what are we talking about today? We're talking about I am seeing what could be a pattern emerging, a 10-year cyclical disaster pattern dealing with, listen to me, earthquakes and tornadoes. Again, in March of 10 years ago, we had the catastrophic Japanese earthquake that produced the tsunami and killed thousands of people in March. And now here we are, fast forward 10 years. In March of this, right now, in the month that we're in, we're seeing earthquake swarms in Iceland. We've got one in Oregon. And now we've had back-to-back large earthquakes in the New Zealand region with an 8.1 that was the, quote, one of the largest ever to be recorded there. So this is noteworthy, guys. Now, let me bring you to the tornado aspect, because all of our Southerners, if you're listening to this and you're living in the southeast or the south or southeastern part, or even in the southwestern part of the United States, you understand what we mean when we say that we have entered into, quote, tornado season, because you live in what could be called Tornado Alley. Now, typically, this is nothing new. March is when things start heating up. It's when things start ramping up. You got March, you got April, even into May, and then things start kind of dying down a little bit in June, and then you go off into hurricane season. But again, I want to sound the alarm, because if this pattern begins to hold like I'm seeing, and listen, this is not something I just come up with either. I want to give you an article that leads me to what I want to give you now. This is from USA Today. Quote, this year's tornado season could be more severe than usual across the United States. Let me say that again. This year's 2021, this year's tornado season could be more severe than usual across the United States, in part because of La Nina, or some say El Nino. It's kind of goes back and forth. The climate pattern called La Nina, a natural cycle. And I say that because I'm not saying this is prophetic or this is a word of the Lord. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we need to understand, and we need to recognize that we're seeing this pattern emerge. This cycle, marked by cooler than average ocean water in the Central Pacific Ocean, is one of the main drivers of weather around the world, especially during the late fall, winter, and early spring. El Nino, so there's where the La Nina and El Nino is the warming of these waters. And by the way, that happened during this past hurricane season. That's why I brought that up earlier. So I want to verify, or I want to reiterate that. Let me say that again. El Nino is the warming of these waters, which leads to different effects on weather patterns. According to weather.com, AccuWeather meteorologists said that because of La Nina, severe weather and tornado activity. Now, here's the part that really got me. I should have put this up on the screen to highlight this, but listen to me real carefully. According to weather experts, because we're in a La Nina cycle, this year's severe weather and tornadic activity, here it is, quote, could abruptly fire up and rival that of 2011. Did you hear that? It could abruptly fire up and rival that of 2011. Guys, if it rivals 2011, we're talking catastrophic. Again, let me, I want to read this to you again. Not that, but on April 27, April 28th, the deadliest tornado outbreak in U.S. took place. 250 people were killed across six states and 162 killed in Alabama alone. And then in May, when Joplin, Missouri was struck, there was 158 people killed alone there. And weather experts are now warning that this season, tornado season, could rival that. So now you see why I feel an urgency to give you this update, to give you this warning today. And we're going to pray here in a minute when we close this. One of the most notorious severe weather seasons, when tornadoes killed more than 550 Americans total in that tornadic season, was 2011. Listen to this quote. The temperature of the water in the central and eastern tropical Pacific during February of 2021 is similar to the La Nina pattern in February 10 years ago in 2011. Now, I want to, and again, I believe all this, not only these things are natural. Yes, they're natural events. They're natural cycles. But according to the Bible, the Word of God tells us that as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord and the end times, when this thing gets ready to wrap up, all these disasters, earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanic eruptions, they are going to increase. They're not going to decrease. They're going to increase in level. They're going to increase in intensity. They're going to increase in volume and magnitude like birth pangs. Let me give you, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but let me talk to you about earthquakes in general. Let me give you some scriptures for this. In Isaiah chapter 24, the prophet said, quote, this is what he saw. Prophetically speaking, and I believe this alludes to the last days. Listen to this. This is in Isaiah 24, 19 through 20. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. So the prophet says, because of transgressions, the shedding of innocent blood, because of these defiance of God himself and his word, that God is going to allow the earth to be violently broken, split open, shaken, reel to and fro, and totter like a hut. Jesus said in the New Testament, in Luke 21, 11, he said, there will be great earthquakes in various places. Great earthquakes, kind of like what we're seeing, what we just saw yesterday in New Zealand, a 7.3, a 7.5, an 8.1. Are you kidding? Listen, I've been doing this for 21 years, and I've never seen that magnitude, size of earthquakes happen back to back to back like that. So we're living in exciting times, dangerous times, perilous times, but exciting times at the same time. Mark 13, 8. It says that there will be earthquakes in various places. In Ezekiel 38, the prophet said that during a prophetic war in the future called War of Gog and Magog, God will bring judgment upon the nations that rise up against Israel. And he says, in my fury, in my jealousy, this is in Ezekiel 38, in the time of my wrath, I've spoken. Surely in that day shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all men who are on the face of the whole earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down. The steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. That's in Ezekiel 38. And then in Revelation 11, it says, in the same hour, there'll be a great earthquake and a tenth of the city will fall. And the earthquake, in this earthquake, 7,000 people will die. This is in the nation of Israel. And then in Revelation chapter 6, 12 through 14, John the Revelator said, I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Somebody say, great earthquake. And the sun will become black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon shall be turned into blood, and the stars of heavens fell to the earth as figs drop its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. And John the Revelator said, and then the sky receded as a scroll when it rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. How does every mountain and island moved out of its place? I'm going to tell you how it can happen. A great earthquake, great earthquakes that are causing tectonic plates to shift and move. The earthquake in March of 10 years ago in Japan was so powerful that it shifted the entire island 6 feet in Japan and shortened the days on the calendar. And Jesus said himself in the Word of God that if the days had not been shortened, then no flesh shall be saved. So this is what we're going to do with this broadcast today. It would be a travesty if I just gave you information and not called us to pray. So listen, here's what we're going to do. If you live anywhere on a major fault line, whether it be the San Andreas, whether it be the Cascadian fault line, whether it be the fault line that goes right through the midsection of the United States. If you live on that fault, if you live in any of these fault lines, we're going to pray for you because we want you to be aware. We want you to be alert, and we want to pray a prayer over you. Listen, if you live anywhere in the South that you're like me, I'm in Georgia, or if you live in Alabama, or if you live in South Carolina, if you live in Kansas, if you live in Missouri, or any of these locations, Tennessee, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, you live anywhere in this tornadic zone, then we really, yes, the New Madrid, thank you. I couldn't think of that while ago. So again, the New Madrid, the San Andreas, the Cascadian, the Hayward Fault, if you live on any of these fault lines, anywhere near that net proximity, or you live in tornado zones that are prone to devastating tornadoes during the season, let's pray right now. I want to pray a prayer of covering. I want you to agree with me. I want you to agree with me for your household, for your family, for your friends, for your neighbor, where you're at right now. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your revelation, your knowledge. Lord, thank you for revealing these patterns and these cycles to us, not that we could be fearful, but that we could be prepared, that we could be aware of what's going on around us. And so right now, Father, I ask that you begin to prepare us the way that we need to be prepared. Prepare us accordingly. Lord, let us have a plan. Reveal to us an emergency plan, an escape route. Have a place that we can go that's underground, a bunker, a basement, a place that we can go during tornadic outbreaks. Lord, if we live in these earthquake zones, may we have plenty of water, shelter, and a place to go, and a place that we can and be ready and be prepared. Father, let us be prepared in the natural as much as we can. But Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, I ask, Father, that the angels of the Lord be released on every representing household that's listening today, that's watching today, whether you be the head of the house, whether you be the husband, whether you be the wife, whether you represent your family. I ask that the angels of God be activated in our lives. Father, I thank you according to your word, they are activated. They're released according to the book of Psalms. You said the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear you, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. You said in Psalm 91, you said that they should bear us up in their hands lest we dash our foot against a stone. You said that destruction can fall here and it can go over here and it can be on our right hand, it can be on our left hand, but only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. You even said in the book of Proverbs that the whirlwind passeth and the wicked are no more, but the righteous have an everlasting foundation. Lord, I thank you that you've always made a distinction between those who serve God and those who did not. Lord, I remind you that there was disasters that came in times past against your people. Even in the land of Egypt, there was disasters happening. Cattle were dropping dead. There was lice. There was frogs. There was locusts. There was plagues happening. Pestilence happened. There was diseases happening. But God, you made a distinction between those who knew you and those who didn't. God, I thank you, Lord, and you prepared the people beforehand. Oh man, I felt something right there when I said that. God always prepares his people beforehand. Come on, I believe that the people of God should not be caught off guard. We should not be caught off guard about these things, but we should be watchful and be ready and knowing the times and seasons in which we're in. So Father, I pray that we be prepared and be ready, both spiritually, physically, financially, Lord, that we make plans accordingly. Now, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every home and every family that's represented today. I pray that there be no loss of life, that there be no damage, no homes destroyed in Jesus' name. Lord, I know that, Lord, the experts may say this and they may say that, but Lord, ultimately you're on the throne. You're in control. You have the say. And Lord, you can either withhold and you can restrain, you can let and you can resist or restrain. So Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your will and your purpose that is being played out in this season. Lord, I'm reminded of the prophet Haggai that said everything that will be and can be shaken will be shaken. So Lord, we understand this prophetically as watchmen. We understand that you are allowing things and permitting things to shake up the world and shake up the nations of the world. Why? So that we could turn our attention back to you, that our hearts would get back to you, and that we would turn to the true and living God. And we thank you, Father, that you even have your way in the storm. You have your way in the earthquake. You have your way in the fire. You have your way, Lord, in everything that happens in the earth. And we thank you and we give you glory and we give you praise and honor today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Guys, again, we want to give you, we want to keep you up to date with our ministry. We hope you've been blessed today by this information. Listen, I would love for you guys to share this, tag some people. If you know people on fault lines, if you know people that live in tornadic zones, share this with them so they can be alert, they can be aware, they can be prayed up accordingly. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Don't forget to subscribe. Go there, go to our main website. Subscribe to our daily digest so you can get that and keep up with what's going on with our ministry. Again, if you've not downloaded the app, it's absolutely free. It's available on Google Play and it's available on the App Store of the Apple Place or the Apple Store. It's free. Download it, get it into your hands so you can keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our podcast, our YouTube channel, and everything that we do as a ministry. It's going to alert you and keep you up to date with that, with push notifications and everything. And again, guys, it's absolutely free. Just like the Watchman Media Network is there for you guys. If you like to keep up with other voices in the body of Christ and what Watchmen are saying in this hour, what they're seeing in this hour, we have created this just for you. We've created this as a place of blessing for our viewers so that they can have a one-stop location, get informed of what's going on around the world and what's going on in these times and seasons. So again, guys, as always, we want to give you an opportunity. If this ministry has been a continual source of information, blessing, encouragement, edification, equipping on a week-to-week basis, we want to give you the opportunity to partner with us. And you can do that many different ways. You can go to our app. If you've got the app, go down to the bottom, click on the right there where it says donate. It's going to take you to an electronic page where you can partner with our ministry and help us continue to do what we're doing. You can also do the old fashioned way or the old school way, what I call it. And you can do that by giving by check or money order at the location right there on your screen. And that is End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So as always, guys, I want to take the time to, again, thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for your support to our ministry. Continue to keep, I know some of you guys, you email me, you message me, You send me letters in the mail and telling us that you're praying for us you're lifting us in prayer. And I can never express with words the level of gratitude for that, to know that we have people that support us not only financially, but praying for us in both. It means a lot. And we're able to continue to do what we're doing because of partners like you. So we love you guys. God bless you. Listen, stay safe. We're going to sign off for this weekend, but we'll be back on Monday, Lord willing. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.